It's time to take this game into overtime. The official podcast of the Average Joe's Sports Show on 90.9 The Light Sports for our generation.
What's going on, everybody? Johnny Fabrazzo here alongside Andrew Beamer with the 90.9 The Light Hockey Show, The Faceoff. How's everyone doing today? We are the first hockey show on 90.9 The Light. And Andrew, how are you doing today, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, man. After last night's 4-0 win in Carolina, my boys were flying last night.
Sure, and you were actually at the game.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I went with my buddy Rob, and we had unreal seats. We were two rows up, right behind Mike Babcock. And what a show it was, man. It was spectacular to see them play in Carolina, that's for sure.
So two rows up, so you got to see, you were right by the bench too, right?
Oh yeah, we were, oh, big man crush, because Babcock's right there, and we were just looking at it. We got so many pictures of Mike Babcock, and man, what a classy guy. He, you know, he hides his mouth every time he talks, and he's just fun to watch, because he gets mad on the bench. Like, he gets angry, and he's yelling, and you can hear him going off.
And you see all the players.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Marner wasn't there. I know. One of your guys.
I'm a big Marner fan. I've got the Marner jersey, and Marner wasn't even there. That's the only thing that wasn't perfect.
Couldn't sing together on the bench.
Yeah, I know. That would have been sweet. I was singing every time a song came on. That was going nuts.
Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the...
Yeah,
experience,
yeah,
at PNC?
Absolutely. So that was the first game I've ever been to cheering for the away team, because obviously the Leafs are my team, and they were on the road. But what an experience that was. I've never sat that close to the glass, to the action. And when you're that close, and when you're at eye level with the guys standing up on the ice, it is a fast-paced game. And it is entertaining and totally worth spending $100 per ticket. I'm not going to lie.
For right on the bench, and
right on the bench,
you got to see one of the top goals of the season.
I did. I saw, in my opinion, the second best Austin Matthews goal, and that's up for debate. But what a goal that was! Similar to Alex Ovechkin's goal about a decade ago, when Wayne Gretzky was coach of the Coyotes. Similar goal, but not as good. But still, a pretty nifty goal, I'd say.
He's going across the crease.
Yeah.
He gets tripped up, right, or hooked?
He gets a stick in the legs. It looks like the guy's, you know, high sticking him in the, you know, where. But he gets tripped up. He's flying backwards, and he still managed to get the puck behind Cam Ward. It
so
was incredible.
He's in the air.
He's in the air, and his stick's on the ice.
Backhands it in right between the legs of the goalie.
Wild. I was surrounded. So I'm from Toronto, and I'm going to a Carolina game, and I'm not going. There's not going to be a lot of people from Toronto here. Everybody in our section was from, like, Toronto, like Oakville or Aurora, Newmarket, Barrie, and we're all cheering, high-fiving every time they score. When the Matthews goal happened, we went nuts. I'm telling you, Carolina people hate us. That's okay. I don't mind. We won 4-0. McLennan got the shutout.
You guys travel in packs.
Oh, we do travel in packs. We are forced to be reckoned with. That's what I'd say.
So that's your weekly highlight.
That's my weekly highlight. Let's go to yours, because you've got an interesting one here. I'd like to hear about it. So what do you think the highlight of the week was for you?
I don't think there's any doubt, and this was a close-to-history-making moment, Sidney Crosby getting his 1,000th point.
Truly a special moment.
I think he was the fifth fastest to do it.
Close to it. He was the 12th fastest.
12th fastest.
12th fastest. He probably would have been fifth if he did not miss so many games with injuries or concussions,
okay,
stuff like that.
I think he's the fifth all-time in points per game.
Yes.
Which is incredible in this day and age of hockey.
Well, it's so much harder to score a goal now. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you were Wayne Gretzky in the early 80s.
Scoring 200 points a season. Now it's an achievement if you get 100.
Exactly. And last year was special, obviously, when Patty Kane got his first 100-point season. He was at 106 by year's end. But what stood out to you with Crosby getting his 1,000th point? Could it have been the play itself, the assist?
Absolutely, because it was everything about Crosby in that one play. The grit. You know, he's battling a guy in the slot to get the puck, has the wherewithal to look up, get his head up, find the open teammate across the slot, get the pass over for the open net goal.
Yeah, and
it's everything about
Crosby. You said it all. That's my favorite word when you're talking about a hockey player, grit, because he showed a ton of grit, determination, and just sheer strength to get that loose puck, the dish, and he got it to Kunitz, is that right?
Yes.
Kunitz got the goal. So, and that was a 3-point night for Crosby, too. So just spectacular.
And he got the overtime winner.
And the OT winner, and I think the OT winner was pretty nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't bad. And you look at a guy like Crosby, and then you've got somebody like Alex Ovechkin, who scored his 1,000th point earlier this year. But the game difference, like the amount of games played, is more than a full season. It's almost 135 games more that Ovechkin's played than Crosby. So if you had to bring it up, is it Crosby or Ovechkin? Who's the better player?
I'm taking Crosby.
Oh, you have to.
I don't think there's any doubt.
You have to. He is all around the better player. Ovi's a great player, don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
He's not Crosby.
He's a pure goal scorer.
Pure
that's
goal
the difference.
Scorer. Yep.
Crosby makes everyone around him better.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, because he plays a full 200-foot game. He can score, he can pass, and he's the best at it in the league.
And both guys have a great supporting cast around him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Crosby's got Malkin and Kunitz and Letang and Fleury. Ovechkin, same thing. Backstrom, Johansson, Oshie now. They got the goalie.
And what a year Johansson's having, eh? For kind of like a, not an underdog story, but one of those guys where you go, oh, Marcus Johansson, he's having a terrific year. He's putting
absolutely
up solid numbers. So, yeah, great supporting cast by both teams, and they're pretty special players, for sure.
So this past week, I want to go into top performers. Who is your top performer of the week?
Okay, top performer. This one's going to... Yeah, this might shake a few heads. I'm going to give it to Brent Burns. And the reason I'm going to give it to Brent Burns is because he just became, this past week, the first defenseman in the NHL since the mid-80s to score 20 or more away goals in a season. And the guy that set that mark was Paul Coffey. And I believe that was before 1985, so a long time ago. And currently he's on pace to do something that only one other defenseman in NHL history has ever done. That's Bobby Orr, and that's put up, I believe, 350 shots and over 80 points with 35-plus goals in a season. So he's got a chance to do it. Last year he was 3 goals shy of actually getting there. So he's more than capable of getting there,
and that's
100%.
That is one of the things that I'm glad you brought it up, because that is a skill that I look for in a defenseman when I'm watching a game. Can he get his shots from the point through to the net?
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's maybe Erik Karlsson is just as good. I don't know if there's anyone better in the league at getting shots from the point all the way to the net.
But you look at most NHL defensemen, and their shot to the net from the point is hopefully going to get redirected. And Burns rifles it top shelf trying to get the goal. That's what I like about him.
I was watching the Devils-Sharks game last Sunday, and Burns had 2 goals, both from the point, just... You know, top corner.
You got to take Burns into consideration when you're even asking me, because I'm biased. I love Brent Burns. But when you go top performer of the week, I go 100% Brent Burns. Just look at the standings. He's 3 points back from Connor McDavid's lead, 67 points in the season. Brent Burns sitting at 64 points. 64 points. He's top five in scoring. Like, it's
from
unbelievable.
A defenseman.
From a defenseman.
You thought Erik Karlsson had a great year a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Brent Burns has blown him out of the water.
Oh, yeah. Brent Burns honestly has a chance to finish in the top five of scoring. If he keeps this pace up right now, this ludicrous pace that he's on, can you imagine if he led the entire league in points at the end of the regular season?
I mean, he's changing the way the defensive position is being played.
Absolutely.
Erik Karlsson is up there with him.
Yeah.
But what he's doing is absolutely incredible.
And this is a guy that's played forward in the NHL, too. That's the astounding thing. He not only plays a great defensive game when he was forward for Minnesota, played a good offensive game too. He plays a good offensive game as a defenseman as it is. But he was, you know, there used to be a position in hockey called the Rover. He's kind of like a Rover, a modern-day Rover who can play almost any position. I want to throw him in the face-off circle, but left wing, right wing, whatever.
He's a forward that can get back on defense.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's a skill that, I mean, there's a reason he's going to have a huge contract.
Yeah. Is he near the end of his contract right now? He must be, because he...
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but he's
while
having...
While you look that up, I'm going to go to my top performer of the week, and it's actually not someone on the ice. It's going to be a member of the NHL media, broadcaster for the Dallas Stars, Dave Strader.
Oh, class act.
He returned to the broadcast booth, I believe, two nights ago, or last night?
A couple nights ago.
Yeah. He had cancer, and he beat it. And now he's back in the broadcast booth, so good on him.
That's awesome. That's unreal.
Never,
those are just good
good stories,
moments,
yeah.
Right? You like
to
hear that.
The Dallas Stars gave him the the salute with the sticks after the game.
Classy.
Yep, everyone gave him a standing ovation. I think they played a video tribute about his battle, and good on him.
That's awesome. Those are just those feel-good, heartwarming stories that you hear at the NHL.
Absolutely.
And those stories, we're not shy of them either. I mean, we hear them all the time. I mean, even how teams honor those who have fallen, you know, like John Béliveau with Montreal Canadiens when he passed away a couple years ago, 2014. They had his number 4 behind the benches. They wore a patch. You look at the Detroit Red Wings. Mr. I, he just passed away. They patched. They had the symbol on the ice. Tons of guys, right? Mm-hmm. So it's when teams pay tribute to those guys that, you know, have made a comeback, whether they're management, coaching, players,
broadcasting,
anything. They
that
a phenomenal job.
Teams now are paying more attention to their broadcasters because that is what the fans hear when they're watching their games.
Yeah.
It's the broadcaster.
That's who they relate to,
mm-hmm.
right? That's
Absolutely.
Who they relate to. So it makes it nice for the fans because they've got that connecting moment. But it's just wonderful. That's a great feel-good story. Always nice to hear stuff like that.
So moving on to some actual NHL news.
Let's do it.
I believe today the suspension ruling came down for Jacob Trouba on the hit on Stone.
Yeah, it was Stone.
And it's 2 games. I see you laughing.
I cannot believe it. So we were watching the hit before the show, and this is the first time I was hearing about it. I look at Jacob Trouba. He comes in. This is the third camera angle they're showing on the replay. He lifts his elbow up, not out of the way, like to purposely hit Mark Stone in the head, and he delivers what looks like from one angle, looks like, oh, and you just clip them. From the other angle, like totally to the head. He meant to do that. He might not have meant to hurt him, but he meant to hit him in the head, 100%. And he gets a 2-game suspension in the game. What did he get? A minor? A 2-minute penalty?
He got a minor, yeah.
And of course, the Ottawa coach was livid.
Oh, yeah.
He was going nuts.
I mean,
nuts.
Can you blame him?
No, not at all.
Look at the replay of the hit. He, like you said, he comes in late.
Yeah.
Straight to the head, brings the elbow up, which is, I mean, one of the things that refs are looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of the things that Department of Player Safety looked at.
So if you're looking at this hit, we both agree that it was a dirty hit. We both agree that he should be reprimanded, get suspension, which he was. If you were Chris Pronger, whoever, you know, the NHL safety committee, and you were dealing out the punishment, what would your punishment be for this hit?
See, I would have given him 4.
4 games?
At least. But when you look at the Gustav Nyquist
suspension. Oh, man, don't even get me started about that.
With that, and he only got 6, it's like the bar is set so low that now they can't.
Yeah,
they can't give a big suspension to a guy for that when you gave 6 games to someone who basically speared another player in the face on the ice.
Purposefully, too.
Yeah.
And even a run on that, the Antoine Vermette slash, like that looked like a little love tap. But because it was on an official, it's an abusive official, and he gets an automatic 10-game suspension, where had Nyquist's stick been 2 inches higher, he might have blinded Jared Spurgeon, not only ruining his NHL career.
Ruining his life.
Ruining his life, too. So it's a joke right now.
If
2-game suspension
Nyquist,
for hitting his head, that's a joke.
If Nyquist had done what he did to an official,
oh, yeah.
How many games does he get?
Oh, he would have been out for, well, I'm going to not assume that the Detroit Red Wings are going to make the postseason for the first time in, what, 24 years?
25.
So I'm going to say he's out for the rest of the season. If his team were to make the postseason, the Detroit Red Wings, I'd say he wouldn't be allowed to play, and then I'd even see some carrying over into next season.
And
that's harsh, but
if Vermette does what he did to a player, what does he get? He
might get a 2-minute slashing.
Maybe a penalty.
Maybe if the refs catch it, and even if they don't, yeah, a little up tap.
So
just because it was not an official.
The whole Department of Player Safety this year is out of flux.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
Two games for that hit on the head. You can take Clark MacArthur in Ottawa. He's hurt. I mean he's not playing this whole season because he got a concussion. So it's just a joke to me. But so, anyways, we are gonna wrap this segment up. We're gonna take a quick commercial break. But afterwards, we are gonna come back and talk about a trade that happened today, and then do some trade analysis. We'll be back right after the commercial break.
Giving blood means giving the gift of life. Thousands of people need a blood donation every day. There's a great need for blood due to accidents and disasters. Your donation can really make a difference. To learn more about how you can donate blood, visit your local hospital or go to www.givelife.org. For more information, you can also visit www.redcross.org or call 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. Give the gift of life and donate blood today. Can you hear it? The simple sound of a heartbeat, the very sound that so many of us take for granted every day. There are countless people who are fighting each day for their next heartbeat, people that have been robbed of an active life because of a disease called cancer. But maybe, with your help, they don't have to live without hope. On Friday, June 6th through Saturday, June 7th, the American Cancer Society will sponsor the Lynchburg Relay for Life, an overnight team event designed to raise money to fight cancer and to raise awareness of cancer in the community. This event will be held at EC Glass High School from 6 o'clock Friday evening, June 6th, until noon on Saturday, June 7th. For more information, please call 845-0973 or log on to www.cancer.org. Please, don't let another heartbeat stop. Give hope. Join in the Relay for Life.
Somewhere around the world, there are men and women of the armed forces risking their lives, helping rebuild communities after natural disasters, collecting toys for needy children, tutoring kids in school. These are your sons and daughters who work to keep us safe, secure, and free. Dedicated men and women who put their country first.
Doctors generally agree that men with more than 25% body fat and women with more than 30% body fat are obese. People with fat concentrated in the abdomen are more likely to develop many of the health problems related to obesity. Genetic, environmental, psychological, and other factors all may play a role in obesity, which occurs when a person's calorie intake exceeds the amount of energy he or she burns. Many people eat in response to negative emotions, such as boredom, sadness, or anger. Over 300,000 people die annually to obesity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, "Do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." God commands us to treat our bodies as a temple to Him. This is for His glory and for our benefit as well. If you have any questions concerning obesity, please visit your doctor as soon as possible.
And welcome back to the Face-Off. Now, we are going to talk about a trade that just happened, and it's actually kicking off the rental market. Johnny, can you tell us more about the trade that happened today? It just broke about an hour ago, am I right?
Yeah, I was in class, and I got a tweet saying that Michael Stone had been traded from the Arizona Coyotes to the Calgary Flames in exchange for a third-round pick and a conditional fifth-round pick. I think the condition is if the Flames re-sign Michael Stone, the Coyotes get a fifth.
And that's a third-round pick in the 2017 draft and a conditional fifth in 2018.
I believe so.
So Michael Stone's a righty, if I'm not mistaken. So, and they've already got depth with the Calgary Flames as far as defensemen go. That's a right-handed shot. And I'm speaking solely on Dougie Hamilton. What do you think Michael Stone adds to the Flames?
I think it's just depth. I mean, they're not giving up much. They want to make a run for the playoffs. So in case a defenseman gets hurt, this is like a depth defenseman for them. He can play a top six role. Maybe he's scratched and then he can go in if there's an injury. I don't think it's anything more than that.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Stone's just a rental. I don't think they're going to go in after the postseason July 1st and re-sign him to a big contract. If anything, maybe a 1 year. But I mean, how often do we actually see that?
Is it worth giving up a fifth round pick for that 1 year?
Exactly. And point of reference, Calgary actually is in a playoff spot right now. They have the second wildcard spot in the West with 62 points, but they have Winnipeg and Los Angeles nipping at their heels with 61 and 60 points respectively. How important do you think Stone is to their team to hold the wildcard spot if actually get a division spot?
See, I'm going to give him a benefit of the doubt. He was playing on a very bad Arizona Coyotes team this year. Very bad team. He only has 9 points in 45 games. But when you look back at his previous years, last year he had 36 points in 75 games. So, I mean, he was averaging almost a point every two games. But this year he's really dropped off.
So he's a defenseman that can pile up 30-plus points in a season. We've seen him do that before.
He can, yeah.
Would you consider him more of a shutdown defenseman where they're going to place him in Calgary? Or is he look to actually rack up some points here while they go deep?
I think they're looking for him to rack up points. I think since he's only been playing a top six role, I don't see him getting, top two ice time. I think they're just looking for him to
be able to play that depth position and basically do everything on the ice. You know, try to get points, chip in sometimes, but really just make sure that the game doesn't get away.
Yeah, well, it's going to be important. As I said, Winnipeg and Los Angeles are right behind him in the wild card spot. That's really the first trade we've seen before the deadline that's actually a rental trade.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't seen anything else. There's obviously no headlines yet. There hasn't been any big trades yet. What's a big trade you think actually might happen before the trade deadline? That's a tough question, right?
I think a goalie on the move.
A goalie on the move. Interesting. Okay. If it's a goalie, that must mean that you have a thought on who the goalie is.
I'm going to either say Ben Bishop or Scott Darling.
Scott Darling. Okay, tell me about Scott Darling. What do you think about Scott Darling?
He's Chicago's backup. I don't think they're going to hold on to him. He's going to want to become a starter somewhere. But the thing is that with Vegas, the expansion draft, I don't know which teams are going to want to hold on to two goalies like that because they're going to have to put one of them up.
And another team like that, could we say, is the Tampa Bay Lightning with Ben Bishop and Andre Vasilevsky?
Yes, they might be looking to make Vasilevsky the starter moving forward. I mean, do you give up Ben Bishop for nothing?
No. Ben Bishop's an elite goalie. He's having a bad year, but he's still an elite goalie.
But, you might as well try to get something for him.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't want to give up a guy
Marc-Andre
like Ben
Fleury,
Bishop
same situation.
Nothing.
Marc-Andre Fleury, same situation.
Yep, and I honestly think Matt Murray can take over the starting
job
in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely, he won the Stanley Cup last year.
And let's not even forget the World Cup of Hockey this year, which he pretty much put the team on his back. He didn't win, obviously, but he played a heck of a game. Did he ever, right?
So who do you think? What are you thinking about some trade speculation?
Well, yeah, minor goalie orientated too. Obviously the biggest talks right now are about Ben Bishop and Marc-Andre Fleury. I think Marc-Andre Fleury's stock is not overly high. I don't think it's really low right now. I think it's all right.
I don't think anyone is.
No, I don't think Bishop's stock is high either.
With the Vegas expansion, teams know, hey, if we don't get him here, Vegas is going to pick him up for nothing. So we can maybe shortchange the Lightning and get an elite goalie out of it.
And that's the thing that's so interesting about this year's trade deadline is that the 31st franchise in the NHL will be active upon deadline day. Or is it? Yeah, they're upon deadline day. They're active.
They can acquire free agents.
I don't know if they can pick up via free agency, but via the waiver wire. I'm talking.
I
don't know about the waiver wire. They might
I'm
be able
sure
to.
Not sure about that.
Definitely trading though, or not trading,
Who do they
but
have to
acquiring
trade, picks.
No, picks. That'd be the only thing they could trade.
Yeah, and I don't see them doing that because they're gonna wanna. They say that they wanna come out flying, but I mean. Let's be honest.
That's just Bill Foley being Bill Foley.
They're going to use those picks.
Yeah.
So
with the Chicago thing, because it's interesting. You look at their prospects, and obviously like Sportsnet, NHL, TSN, they'll rank their top 10 prospects, and they don't have a goalie in that top 10. Some of those teams that are going, okay, we're ready for this guy to take over the starting goalie position, or we're going to drop this goalie. They've got a goalie right on the back. I can't think of a Chicago goalie that would fill his spot, but that's an interesting piece because I do think Scott Darling is ready to take over a number one position. He's got playoff history, he's got regular season history, and he's got good stats overall too. So that's an interesting topic that we can go a little deeper in if we can figure out what Chicago's got in the backup.
Corey Crawford is 32 years old.
Yeah.
Scott Darling's 28. It's not like they have a young goalie system by any means.
I would say 28 is the beginning of your prime for a goalie.
Yeah.
And I'd say right now, Corey Crawford's right in the middle of his prime.
And Scott Darling's still on a base salary.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want that.
No.
No way.
No, but I definitely see, I don't know, I've even heard Smith from Arizona. I've heard him in the talks for Vegas.
Well,
that would be interesting. But
It depends on what the other teams do.
Yeah.
If Vegas thinks that there's a better goalie out there.
It's a wild market right now.
If Bishop is available to them, they'll take him.
But it's a wild market.
I want to move on from goalies and discuss someone that we both know and love so well. He is the ageless wonder, Jaromír Jágr. What is going on with him?
I think he is honestly just like he's just around youthful exuberance. He's around Trocheck. He's around Huberto. Like the Florida team is young. Don't get me. They got Derek McKenzie,
and they're playing with guys that weren't even alive when he started playing.
That's what's so funny, right? And he goes out and he scores a ridiculous goal, like we saw the other night. Patience around the net, tight on the goalie, and he slides it in. He gets it over.
He just loves the game.
Loves the game. But he plays hard. And he plays a good game still.
Every year for the past, I think, 3 or 4 years at the trade deadline,
his name pops up. Because he's only on like a 1 or 2 year deal usually,
right? And he's
45
years old now.
45. He just turned 45 on February 15th.
What do you think happens with him this year?
With Jágr, that's an interesting case. I had somebody run by me the idea of him going to Chicago. That's kind of hard because his cap's about $3 million, right?
3.5.
3.5.
And they
and
have
Chicago's
about,
got
they have
the
under
tightest
$1 million
cap.
Dollars.
Yeah,
they cap space.
That's not happening.
They're gonna have to. They would have to give up something that I don't think is worth Jaromír Jágr.
And then you have to analyze whether Florida's like, oh, we can go into the playoffs this year, or do we want to kind of start a small rebuilding process and aim for 2017-2018 playoffs?
And that's an interesting point because at the beginning of the season, for the first. I would say 2 months or so, Florida was awful.
Oh,
I know they had the big injury to, I think, Huberto.
Yeah, Huberto. He didn't even start the season.
They weren't even looking at a playoff spot.
No.
And now I think they're 1 point out of a wild card.
Yeah, the East is tight right now. They are currently third, so one away from wild card spot, and they're only 1 point behind Toronto, who's sitting in the second wild card spot,
so
and they're a game out.
Maybe they hold on to him.
They might.
Say we need him for if we're going to make a playoff run.
I mean, Jágr's the third guy over 45 years old to do what he did the other night. And he's still racking up like 30, 40 points in a season.
Has there ever been a 45-year-old in the playoffs?
That's a good question.
Interesting. I have no idea about the answer.
The only guy I could think of would be Gordie Howe. He's the only guy I could think of. I mean, yeah, Mark Recchi, Chris Chelios. We got a couple other guys. There's a few guys.
So he's a living legend now.
Oh,
obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's a living legend. Going on even more with the trade bait list, you've got top guys, Kevin Shattenkirk, Matt Duchene, Gabriel Landeskog. Who's the hottest player right now on the trade list?
And Matt Duchene.
But
do you think
I agree with that? I would say Matt Duchene is. What are the chances of Matt Duchene actually going? Do you think the chances are higher?
I do believe they're high.
And if he's going somewhere, where do you see him going?
That I do not know. But Colorado is a mess this year.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think they're going to completely start over. I think they're going to trade away, like you said, Landeskog.
Yep.
Duchene. I think Varlamov's going to be out.
Oh, really?
I don't think they can trade him, actually.
Varlamov? He might have no trade clause.
Is he injured?
I don't know if he's on long-term injured, but I think he does have a no trade clause.
If you're on IR, you can't get traded.
One of the two.
It might be hard for them to ship him out. But
see, I think if Matt Duchene's going anywhere, he's getting out of the West. He's going to the East.
Absolutely.
And the hot team right now to land Matt Duchene, at least who they're talking about, is the Ottawa Senators. Can you imagine Matt Duchene centering the first line in the Senators? What a 1-2 punch.
Who's their number one right now? Is it
probably Derek Brassard? He's probably starting number one.
Or is it Stone? Or is he a winger?
He's a winger.
Okay.
So it's probably and Derek Brassard is an underrated. He's a good player. So that's a good 1-2 punch
absolutely.
Right there.
Yeah.
And Ottawa's playing good hockey this
year.
Pittsburgh
also.
I can't see that.
I don't
Could
know
you imagine?
How do that.
So you've got Sidney Crosby, second line of Evgeny Malkin, third Matt Duchene. That's unfair.
I don't think that he would like that.
No, he wouldn't like because he's definitely a true and number one starting center.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he wouldn't like being going on a third line. Not a chance.
Maybe the Florida Panthers go after him. Who knows?
That would be interesting. That would be really interesting.
Yeah.
That's something we've got to keep an eye on because there's so many big players on this list this year. Even Thomas Vanek. Brian Boyle's been shipped out a bit, his name at least. And they got to fix Colorado and Arizona. They got to do something. Anthony DeClaire's on the list.
You think Shane Doan is out?
I don't know, man.
They haven't discussed a trade yet.
That's all hooey. They don't know.
No,
they're just saying
39?
Whatever they want. Oh yeah, he's old. Shane Doan's old. He's one of the 23 players left from the 90s.
He's been a Coyote for life.
I know,
Winnipeg
and
Jet,
I think they want to keep him a Coyote for life.
But
he wants to retire.
Do you give him the chance to maybe? Because they're not making the playoffs this year.
It'd be interesting to keep an eye on, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know what team would go, yeah, we want Shane Doan. I mean, he hasn't scored that many goals this year. He hasn't put up that many points. He's a great leader, great locker room guy, but you're going to a playoff team, you've already got good locker room guys. So, I don't know. I mean, that's up for debate, but it's going to be tight because teams haven't really done anything yet.
No,
I mean, the first trade is today.
They're all hesitant because of Vegas.
Yeah, and that's probably scaring GMs right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely scaring GMs. I know Mark Osborne, he's an LA Kings scout, and he's texting me the other day. He spent 4 days tangled up with Lombardi, the LA GM, and they're just going over trade stuff. They're just talking because who knows what the market's going to produce, what they're going to do, right? So it's up in the air right now. But
it's great stuff.
Absolutely, it's going to be interesting.
Fun time.
Even Jerome McGinley's name is out there, who I would love to see on a Stanley Cup contending team.
Mm-hmm. He's a good guy. He's
great
one of the
guy.
Better guys in the league.
Absolutely. He needs to, even I've heard rumors of him going back to Calgary, believe it or not.
I would love it.
That would be interesting.
I'd love it.
That'd be awesome. It would be great. So anyways, lots of guys to keep your name out. We are going to take a short commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to do Lock or Not. We'll discuss what that is after the commercial break. Bye.
National Right to Life is a grassroots movement with affiliates in every state and over 3,000 local chapters nationwide. Because of the work of pro-life citizens, the abortion rate has steadily declined, and more people are recognizing that unborn children have the right to life. In addition, Americans are discovering the dangers of euthanasia and assisted suicide because of the work of pro-lifers. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. And the odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Do you avoid reading and writing? Do you frequently misspell words? Do you work slowly and commonly misread information? If so, you may be struggling with a language-based learning disability called dyslexia. Dyslexia affects reading, writing, and spelling skills. Many people who have dyslexia struggle for years before being diagnosed. Dyslexia is not a disease and it can't be cured. However, dyslexia can be treated. If you'd like more information on dyslexia, call the International Dyslexia Association at 1-800-ABCD-123.
If you thought marijuana was safe, think again. There's a lot of lies circling about this drug. Myth number one, marijuana is not addictive. Of all the addicts who enter drug clinics each year, over 60% are pot smokers. Myth number two, marijuana makes you mellow. While smoking pot can calm you down, it's also associated with violent behavior. Pot smokers are 4 times more likely to engage in violent behavior than those who don't. Myth number three, marijuana has no long-term effects. Smoking pot can cause severe paranoia, a disease called acute brain disorder. Addicts who suffer from the disorder have gotten in accidents, go without sleeping and eating, and hide themselves from the rest of the world. The truth is, marijuana hurts. Your family, friends, and you are all affected if you smoke pot. There is help available to you. Don't wait. Call 1-800-821-HELP. That's 1-800-821-HELP. Get the help you need to get your life back on the right track.
And we are back on the Face Off at 90.9 The Light. So we're going to talk about some playoff stuff right now. Andrew, the East is as tight as I've ever seen it.
Very tight.
What do you think is going to happen in these last few weeks of the season?
All right, I'm going to do a lock or not here, and I'm going to explain what lock or not is. We're not even going to touch the teams that are in the Metropolitan, Atlantic, all the divisions. We're going to touch the wild card teams. We might go into those teams, but we're going to focus on the wild card teams. I'm going to say New York Rangers are a lock for the playoffs. They have 77 points in 58 games played, and they're only 2 points back with the same amount of games from the Columbus Blue Jackets in grabbing the third place in the Metro Division. So they are for sure a lock. This is where it gets interesting. My favorite team, the boys I love, Toronto Maple Leafs, I'm going to say not, because they have 65 points in 58 games played. Granted, they're 1 point back from Boston with a game in hand. But you've got the Florida Panthers at 64 points. The New York Islanders at 64 points. See, they're only 1 point back from the Leafs. But then you go down the list, Philly's at 63, and you go to the number 10, and they're at 56. That's a pretty tight, I mean, that's 9 points separating the second wildcard spot in the East from the 10th place team in the East, which is the Carolina Hurricanes. So I'm going to say not for the Toronto Maple Leafs, because anybody could grab that spot. If they separate themselves from the pack and push up into the Atlantic and knock Boston down, maybe a lock, but they'd have to gain some traction and actually get, you know, 3, 4, 5 points ahead of Boston in order to lock that.
I'm going to disagree with you there.
You're just going with your guess from earlier in the season.
I'm not going to disagree with you saying they're going to make the playoffs. I'm going to disagree with your reasoning because, like you said, the Maple Leafs have played 58 games. On this list, the only teams that have played less games are the Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes, who have only played 55. So they have games in hand on all the other teams that are battling for that spot.
But you're going to look at a team like Florida, and you can't sit there and tell me they're going to grab the first wild card spot, which belongs to the New York Rangers right now, because they're over 10 points away from that.
No, I don't know who's going to make the spot, but I don't think the games played has to do with it.
Okay.
I could definitely see the Maple Leafs making a playoffs because...
I would like that.
I know you would.
I would like that a lot.
I called it at the beginning of the season. You called it back in September before the season even began. You were like, I don't know, but hey, they're in the playoff spot right now.
It's because I'm a narcissist when it comes to things like this.
Yeah, I have so much
bad luck with my team, and they haven't won in so long.
But look at this. If Carolina wins, they have three games in hand on the Maple Leafs. If they win all three and the Maple Leafs somehow lose all of them, they're 3 points out of a playoff spot.
That's true. They'd be sitting at 62 points if they won the next three games. But that's not to mention what the teams above them will do in those next three games, too. So I think Carolina's a long shot. I think Detroit's a long shot. But when you get New Jersey up, which is 60 points or up, I think it's anybody's game at that point.
But I'm just saying the Maple Leafs have game in hand on basically all the teams that are battling them.
True. So you never know.
That, and that's a good thing for you guys.
I like that aspect. I mean, yeah. I'd be upset if we were Montreal and we had 59 games. I mean, I know that's only one more game, but I mean, we do have a game in hand. I mean, even Buffalo has 60 games played. So, I mean, 58 games, I'm feeling pretty good right now. And do we owe much of the credit to the bye week for that, or what would you say there?
The bye week is throwing everything off.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the Hurricanes are all the way down at the bottom, but they've only played 55 games. Some teams have played 61.
Yeah, so that's anybody's. That covers the East. Let's do lock or not for the West. What are your thoughts there?
The West is a little more sporadic. So I do like Nashville and Calgary in those two wildcard spots right now. However, there are three teams that I'm looking at that could make the jump into those spots, and that's Winnipeg, Los Angeles, and Dallas.
Hmm.
I'm skipping over Vancouver. Yeah. I don't think that they're going to make a run for it. Dallas, they've had some tough luck this year. I know they've lost a ton of games on fluky bounces and last-minute goals. And I know that a win is a win and a loss is a loss, but that's a team that's too good not to make a run. I think if they fix up their goaltending at the trade deadline, they could be a serious contender to make the playoffs.
What a weird goaltending situation in Dallas, too. I mean, they've got two guys that were number one starters for quite a number of years, and they're kind of swapping them out and maybe 30 games each in a season.
And the funny thing
is
that it hasn't worked.
Exactly.
Ever.
But look in history. Has that ever worked?
Never.
No. So maybe they're potential landing spots for a Ben Bishop, a Marc-Andre Fleury, if those, you know, Pittsburgh, Tampa is going to deal one of those guys out.
Calgary, you know, they just made that trade today.
Yeah.
They got that depth defenseman. Not sure what that's going to do. We'll have to wait and see.
The Pacific, to me, seems a little tighter as far as that wild card spot. You know, Calgary's at 62 points with one game up on the Los Angeles Kings, who have 60 points.
Yeah.
So, I mean that could switch it around right there.
From the central third spot to the wild card spot is only 3 points. From the Pacific third spot to the wild card spot is 10 points.
Yeah.
So there's a bigger difference in the Pacific.
And I wouldn't put any money on saying Nashville or Calgary's a lock right now.
I think that any of those five teams are, and it's not as tight as the East.
No. But I mean, have you ever seen the East or West as tight as the East
is
right now?
I've never seen anything like what's going on in the East right now.
It seems crazy.
Like every day, every night you look at the standings and it's a different order.
So assuming that the top three teams in the Central and the Pacific divisions are a lock, and it looks like they are, with the exception of maybe St. Louis. I'm saying maybe. Who is your two wild card spots go to in the West? That's a tough question too. But I mean, it's tight enough where you could say, you know, 1, 2, 3. It, you know, there's a couple options. Not as many options as the East, but there's three or four options there.
I'm going to say...
Yeah, I got you thinking now, don't
tough.
I?
I'm going to go... I'm going to go Nashville. And I'm going to go...
Tough, eh? So Nashville's a lock.
For me, it's going to be between the Kings and Calgary.
Really?
I think the Kings are going to do something.
Okay.
I have a feeling that the Kings are going to do something at the deadline.
Osborne would like that you went with Los Angeles there. That's his Los Angeles. That's his team.
It's going to be interesting. And like I said, it all depends on what these teams do at the deadline and who goes on a run.
See, you know? I agree. Nashville, I think, is a lock. But I'm also going to throw in there that I don't think a Pacific team will make the wild card. I think Winnipeg will grab that second wild card spot.
They're a Pacific team, aren't they?
They are, but no. Winnipeg's the Central.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Winnipeg's in the Central division. So okay.
I don't know Canada very well, so I don't know.
We got to get you up north a little bit more, eh?
I've never been there.
Well, we'll take you on a trip. I think Winnipeg, if they have a really good push to the end of the season, and they've played 62 games, they have 20 more games to go. And granted, that's three more than Calgary. That's four more than Los Angeles. I just think Winnipeg's a better team. It's much of, you know, the success of rookie all-star, superstar, or whatever you want to call him, Patrick Laine. But I think it's going to be Nashville and Winnipeg in those two wild cards.
What's got to make you happy as a Canadian?
What's that?
That a Canadian team is going to make the NHL playoffs this year.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you're really going to do that. You have 23 teams in the NHL that are stateside. We only have seven.
What happened to
in Canada?
The country that invented the sport?
Hey, man, we're...
Last year, no Canadian teams in the playoffs.
We're still a pretty good-looking country up there. I'm telling you. Canadians are... We're good people.
They're very white and cold.
It's very snowy and cold.
I don't like it.
Well, I don't like snow either, but whatever. I don't know. I mean, I'd say Calgary has the best chance. If a Pacific team is going to land a wild card spot, the best chance to grab either one or two. I don't think they'll catch up to Nashville, but I think Calgary's got the best chance with the acquiring of Michael Stone from the Coyotes today. And that would be an interesting push if the Calgary Flames made the playoffs. It would be very interesting. Let's say Nashville doesn't make the wild card spot. You have Calgary, Edmonton. I'm going to say Winnipeg's going to make it. And that's three teams right there, Canadian. Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, six. I'm going to say six Canadian teams could make it. It's pretty, it's not that bad.
It's a big difference from last year.
Last year was zero. Vancouver, I'm gonna agree with you and ride Vancouver out here. I don't think they've got a shot. I also don't like Vancouver, so I would not
either.
Give them a shot if I could. But maybe six Canadian teams could make the playoffs.
Be
interesting.
Absolutely.
I don't think any of them have a legitimate shot at winning the cup with teams like Minnesota.
We have yet to see Montreal under their new coach, Claude Julien.
Well, we've seen him in one or two games.
One game, and it was the first one off the bye week.
Yeah, and they lost.
Real quick, I want your opinion on this. Teams coming off the bye week, I think they're 4-10-1.
Yeah.
Why?
I think it's partly due to the fact that they get a whole week, and some of those guys, they fly somewhere, they go on vacation with their families, they take times with their wives, children, whatever. They're not focused, obviously, that week. And it's going to take a few games to get back into focus. And I think that's why you see a team like Toronto that came off the bye week and just did so bad lately. But then you see a team like Chicago. It's not going to affect Chicago the same way it's going to affect a team like Toronto, because they have all-star talent all throughout their lineup. They're a modern-day dynasty team. I mean, they're potentially going for their fourth Stanley Cup in 8 years. They have 3-6 already. That's incredible. I mean, that's a feat that hasn't really been accomplished. Actually, hasn't been accomplished at all since the lockout.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen it that much since, you know, in the NHL history anyways.
That's why I didn't really put much stock into that first game back from Montreal.
Yeah.
Because no team really ever does good off this bye week.
Especially adjusting to a new coach, rival coach in Claude Julien, too.
I think it's going to take a week, and then we'll see the results. Maybe Carey Price gets back on track.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
What's interesting about the Montreal firing of Therrien and the hiring of Julien is that's the second time that exact same thing has happened. 2002-2003, they fired Michel Therrien, hired Claude Julien. 2016-2017, they fired Michel Therrien, hired Claude Julien. I mean, we've seen it already twice.
Both of those guys have had some very weird situations with coach firings.
But they're good coaches. That's the thing. I mean, when I think of Claude Julien, I go, oh, he's got Stanley Cup.
How many years have we been talking about Claude Julien possibly getting fired?
Oh, at least probably since they won the Cup in 11.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably go 2012 on. I'd
probably
say, oh, he's
now.
he's on the ice right now. He could go either way.
When he coached the Devils.
Julien?
Julien.
Really?
He got fired 2 days before the Devils started the playoffs. They were in a playoff spot, and Lou Lamoriello fired him.
Oh, Lou. I can't blame Lou if it's Lou that did that.
No, I mean, Lou has no remorse whatsoever.
No. Speaking of Lou, I mean, this is his last year on contract. His second last year. Next year.
Next year's his last.
Retiring or re-sign
him?
Kyle Dubas and Mark Hunter are the two assistant GMs. Yeah, I don't think Dubas is ready to take over. He's a little
young.
Too young.
He's
too young.
Young.
And I don't think
John Chayka took over as the Coyotes.
Yeah, he
did.
He's
only 28.
Yeah, he's 28.
So worthless when I think about that.
I don't know. With the way the Toronto Maple Leafs are going right now, they'd want to lock in a pretty established GM. I wouldn't think they'd go, let's try this new guy out. You know what I mean? So, anyways, we are going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come back with probably my favorite segment. We're going to keep it a mystery for you. So stay locked on 90.9 The Light, The Face-Off.
National Right to Life is a grassroots movement with affiliates in every state and over 3,000 local chapters nationwide. Because of the work of pro-life citizens, the abortion rate has steadily declined, and more people are recognizing that unborn children have the right to life. In addition, Americans are discovering the dangers of euthanasia and assisted suicide because of the work of pro-lifers. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.
If you thought marijuana was safe, think again. There's a lot of lies circling about this drug. Myth number one, marijuana is not addictive. Of all the addicts who enter drug clinics each year, over 60% are pot smokers. Myth number two, marijuana makes you mellow. While smoking pot can calm you down, it's also associated with violent behavior. Pot smokers are 4 times more likely to engage in violent behavior than those who don't. Myth number three, marijuana has no long-term effects. Smoking pot can cause severe paranoia, a disease called acute brain disorder. Addicts who suffer from the disorder have gotten in accidents, go without sleeping and eating, and hide themselves from the rest of the world. The truth is, marijuana hurts. Your family, friends, and you are all affected if you smoke pot. There is help available to you. Don't wait. Call 1-800-821-HELP. That's 1-800-821-HELP. Get the help you need to get your life back on the right track.
Doctors generally agree that men with more than 25% body fat and women with more than 30% body fat are obese. People with fat concentrated in the abdomen are more likely to develop many of the health problems related to obesity. Genetic, environmental, psychological, and other factors all may play a role in obesity, which occurs when a person's calorie intake exceeds the amount of energy he or she burns. Many people eat in response to negative emotions, such as boredom, sadness, or anger. Over 300,000 people die annually to obesity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, "Do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. God commands us to treat our bodies as a temple to Him. This is for His glory and for our benefit as well. If you have any questions concerning obesity, please visit your doctor as soon as possible."
Welcome back to The Face-Off. We are leading up into my favorite segment of the hour, and it's simply called Guys I Don't Like. And we're talking about NHL players, coaches, GMs, anybody in the NHL community. We're going to talk about who we dislike and why, and I'm going to throw it to Johnny for your first guy you don't like.
I'm going to go with a guy that I have not liked for years now. I mean, this is dating back to the 2010 playoffs.
Oh, man, you're going 7 years ago. 7 years ago.
And this is the guy that I know that you don't like that much either. It's got to be Sean Avery.
Oh, my gosh. I hate Sean
Avery. Of the New York Rangers.
Oh.
Is there a bigger goon on the ice than Sean Avery?
I think goon is an honored term. I wouldn't even call him a goon. He's awful. Like, yeah. He's awful.
Just everything about him.
I'm thinking of one instance. I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to see if you can guess it.
Marty Brodeur.
You know it right away. Yeah. Waving a stick in front of Brodeur.
He wasn't even looking at the play.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not hockey.
You remember that MTV show, Cribs?
Yeah.
You know, they do, like, tours of their house and all that? I watched that when it was, like, Cribs was the, you know, the big thing.
Don't tell me he was on it.
He was on it.
Was he?
And he was awful. And he was like, yeah, this is my pad. Yeah, this is my fridge. I'm like, no, you're Sean Avery. You don't know.
He instigates people. And then when they challenge him to a fight, he bear hugs, doesn't drop the gloves.
And he sucker punch. You ever see him start that fight? He'll punch with the glove on, you know, kind of knock the opponent a little loose, throw it off, start fighting. And it does it so fast, so the refs don't see it. But he is
horrible.
Awful.
Awful. Awful. Like, so glad he's out of the league.
Honestly, you could not have chosen a better player to
like
hate more
said,
than
I don't
Sean
even,
Avery.
Goon's not the right word. I don't know what you even call him.
No, yeah, you just call him...
Someone who doesn't belong in the NHL.
He's Sean Avery'd his entire NHL career. That's the thing. When a player is that bad, or just we don't like him that much, we're referring... He's Sean Avery, NHL.
He's this year's Sean Avery.
He's every year's Sean Avery, in my opinion. Yeah. So that's your first guy. So obviously, we let it off with the guy we hate the most, and we both agree. We
both
hate
agree
Sean
on
Avery.
That one.
Who's your second guy?
I'm going to go with Carey Price.
Okay.
Listen.
Yeah, go ahead. Be careful. You're treading water.
I know. I know he's the Canadian, you know, godchild or whatever. He's not a good person on the ice. I'm sorry. I was watching a Devils-Canadians game. Carey Price is in net. Kyle Palmieri gets pushed into him. He slides, you know, takes out his legs. He doesn't
do it on purpose.
Whacking
him with the blocker. That's what you're talking about, right? Yeah,
Carey Price
that.
Comes out from over the top. With the blocker on his right hand and just starts wailing. Blockers are hard.
Oh, yeah.
Those things
are
hard.
Oh, the tips of them? Oh, they're rock hard, bud. That would kill. And he's hit him in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what? I respect Carey Price for his play. I hate that he's a Montreal Canadian. Now, I don't think that's my choice, obviously. But he does have some grit to his game. And you don't like it, but...
That's not the good kind of grit.
Not the good kind of grit when, like, after the whistle, he's getting involved
that's
in the scrum.
That's dirty and dangerous.
Yeah.
That could have seriously injured Kyle Palmieri.
You're backing Palmieri because he's your prodigal son in New Jersey.
Because he's a New Jersey guy that
plays
for the Devils?
Pretty much.
Hey, if that was a Toronto guy, I would have said the same thing.
Oh, I would have backed it up 100%. I hate Carey Price because he's hitting Zach Hyman. But
yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, right.
You could persuade me, if you talked enough about Carey Price, why I should hate him.
He's like Brad Marchand.
Yeah, you persuaded me right there.
He's great. He does everything right. But he has that edge that just goes too far sometimes. And he has that cockiness.
Because he's Carey Price, he's not going to get in trouble
for
it. Because of his status. Kind of similar to Sidney Crosby. As much as I love Crosby,
I think it's more like Brad Marchand.
That's going to lead
Marchand
me.
Brad Marchand gets, I think, a little bit. He does a little bit more than Sidney Crosby.
That's going to lead me. I just changed my guy who I don't like. I'll talk about the other guy. But
yeah, let's hear
Brad
it.
Marchand.
Okay.
I hate him more than I hate Sean Avery, which is saying a lot because I hate Sean Avery. But I want to break Brad Marchand's nose so badly. He makes me so mad.
With the things he does on the ice.
Oh, slew footing, kneeing, illegal
tripping,
hits to the head, tripping, whatever you want to call it. He is awful. Granted, he's a great player. I'm not taking that away from him. I mean, he's seventh overall in points right now with 59 in 59 games played, so a point per game player this season. But when I think of Brad Marchand, I don't think, Brad Marchand, superstar hockey player, like great athleticism, you know, he's a good player. I think... He's just an awful guy to play with. But if you're a Boston Bruin, you don't see it because you're like, I want that kind of guy on my team.
Exactly.
If you're the coach or management, you're like, maybe not.
He couldn't play for anyone else besides the Bruins.
Yeah.
He couldn't.
But in that's going to lead me. It's going to set it up perfectly because I hate this guy. Almost not. I'd go Marchand, Avery, and then Ryan Kessler. I hate Ryan Kessler.
See, I don't know much about him.
He's another one of those guys. You would love to have Kessler on your team because he plays that kind of grit and determination game that you want to get the puck from the, you know, to battle for a puck, pass it out to, you know, Ryan Getzlaf, Corey Perry, shoot it in, get the goal, gets an assist. He racks up points. I'm not taking that away from him either, but I just don't like Kessler. There's one thing he's done that in the existence of Kessler is a professional athlete that I thought was actually pretty funny, and he dressed up as a fan and sat in the stadium at the Honda Center you know, like in a fat suit, in a wig and all that, and pretended to be a fan, and then like tucked it off and was like showing all these kids, like, oh, I'm Ryan Kessler. And that was the one thing. That's the one thing. Everything else, hate him. Don't like him. But that's my take.
He's like a gritty guy on the ice too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's and just... I don't really watch the Ducks because it's Anaheim and I don't really pay attention to the California teams that much.
Yeah, but I'm not in that either.
I could see it. I could see it if you actually pay attention to what he does.
If he was in the East, we'd hate him even more. Yeah. That's why I hate Brad Marchand so much, because I hate Boston.
And you're a Maple Leafs fan, so exactly. That's the rivalry.
Exactly. So we are going to do a new segment. It's calling Take Two, and it's going to be a debate. And each week we're going to set one thing that we're going to pick, and we're going to debate it. We're each going to get a minute. I'm just going to say person's name versus person's name. You're going to make your argument. You got a minute to go. Laine versus Matthews. Who do you have? Minute starting now.
So, okay, I got Austin Matthews.
I don't
like
you.
Just because, what?
I don't like you right now, because I like Austin Matthews. But
well,
go ahead.
I like him. And I took him because I know you're a Maple Leafs fan, so you know everything about him.
Just to
spite
me.
It's not fair. So I'm going to get right into it right now. I'm taking Matthews because if you look at a guy that you want to build a team around, how do you not take him? I mean, he does everything on the ice. I'm going to throw out some stats at you right here. Let me get to them. You look at on home ice, 17 points in 28 games. On the road, however, 32 points in 30. He's over a point per game on the road. And his Corsi stats, I know that you don't like Corsi.
Oh my gosh, getting started.
I know you don't like
Corsi,
but hey, I'm throwing it out there. He's got a 53% Corsi as opposed to Patrick Laine's 49%. So he's shooting it more than Patrick Laine is.
You got 5 seconds. Persuade me.
Austin Matthews is better. You're a Maple Leafs fan. You have to agree with me.
And time's up. There it is. All right. Well, let's see if I can go against my intuition on this one and see. I'll start the countdown right now. I've got a minute and go. All right, Patrick Laine, he is a prolific goal scorer. I compare him to none other than Alex Ovechkin, the great eight. 28 goals, 24 assists for 52 points in 54 games this season. First rookie of the 2016-2017 season to reach the 50-point plateau. He's also leading all rookies in points. He's 16th overall. The next closest rookie is that of his counterpart, Austin Matthews, who's also played in 4 more games than Patrick Laine. And I would argue as well, you might say differently, I'd say the Winnipeg Jets supporting cast, Blake Wheeler, specifically, is a great captain, and he's helping Patrick Laine excel as a rookie into superstardom, whereas Austin Matthews has a way better supporting cast, not a captain, obviously, leading him, but he's got guys like Mitch Marner, Nylander, Kadri, JVR. He's got a better supporting cast, and he's still a few points back in 4 games more. Patrick Laine, best rookie this year, hands down.
So I think we can all agree that you are wrong.
Yeah.
But we want to hear from you.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. So if you, and we would love it, if you could tweet at us, hashtag 909hockey, we will see your tweets, obviously. We'll comment, respond. I'm going to post some pictures later on tonight from the game I went to last night. Some great pictures of Babcock yelling at guys. Some good pictures of Willie Nylander. None of the Canes, because I don't like the Hurricanes. But a lot of good Leaf pictures. Maybe even a video I saw JVR. We had a girl standing beside us who had a sign that said something like, JVR, throw me a puck or whatever. Good guy JVR comes up, pass it along the boards, flicks it up.
Also from New Jersey.
It. Yeah, whatever. I like him because he's with the Leafs. Good American, though. Passes the puck up to himself, throws it over the board. Matt Martin was throwing 2 pucks over to 2 little kids, too. So, I don't know what you're saying.
He's a good guy.
They're all good guys.
He signed my brother's hockey jersey.
Matt Martin?
Mm-hmm.
He's big.
My brother got the entire Islanders team to sign his jersey.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, bud.
And he got it on a Grabner jersey, and now Grabner's with the Rangers, which he's bitter about. But, hey, still a good jersey.
Grabner's having a pretty good year.
He's having a great year.
After an awful Toronto year. I cannot believe that. He's got 20-plus goals, doesn't he?
He's having a great year.
20-plus goals. That, I cannot believe that. But anyways, let us know who you think is better this year. Austin Matthews, which was Johnny's pick, or Patrick Laine, which is my pick. Very controversial for me because my heart belongs to Austin Matthews.
So, yeah. It's got to be Austin Matthews, but...
Oh, your time expired. We can't make our case anymore. We can just rant about it on Twitter now.
Definitely want to hear from you, though.
We'd love to hear from you guys. So
tonight we got Florida Panthers and St. Louis Blues at 8:00, and then the Anaheim Ducks and Arizona Coyotes.
Oh, who's going to win that game?
Gee, I wonder.
I wonder. Maybe Arizona can pull it out of their back pocket. Not a chance. They just traded away Michael Stone.
Maybe Mike Smith.
Mike Smith might have a 60-save performance tonight. Shutout, first star. He probably wouldn't even get first star because he's in Arizona.
But important game for Florida. They win the playoff spot.
It's an important game for Florida.
So we shall see.
We will. There's not too many games on tonight, just the two. So
tomorrow night's the big night.
Yeah, tomorrow night's the kicker, and you've got your Devils playing the Senators at 7 p.m.
Huge game.
And the Blackhawks Wild game is tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
Looking forward to that game.
That's got
to
be, honestly, the best game. Like,
of the
best
week.
Two teams I like to watch the most in the playoffs is Blackhawk Wild.
Yes.
Because that is just so much fun to watch.
So that's going to do it from us this week. This is Johnny alongside Andrew. You're listening to The Face Off. We will talk next week here on 90.9 The Light.